It's time to laugh, learn, and take your photography to the next level with your favorite cowgirls with cameras, Kara, Kim, and Phyllis.
Welcome to the Cowgirls with Cameras podcast. I'm Kim Beer with Be More Business and Kim Beer Photography.
I'm Kara with Fast Horse Photography.
And I'm Phyllis with Phyllis Burchett Photo. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Well, we just had a long discussion about not having your photos be blurry, which I'm hoping you guys listened to the last couple of weeks.
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
If we're time traveling correctly.
But for us, it's only been 2 minutes. Oh, goodness. So what have you guys been up to in the last 2 minutes?
Watching your kitty cat.
Watching Meowth come up here. Yeah. Meowth had to conduct a meeting for me because I had to run out and talk to a contractor, and I tried to make Kara co-host, and then I didn't flick the final button. So they were stuck here for like a half an hour while I was out getting this contractor going on what he needed to do.
No, I was stuck by myself.
Kara was stuck. She could not even let me in. I was stuck outside. I didn't even get in.
And they sent many pleas for help, but I left my phone right here on my desk. Cat heard, and he apparently jumped up on my desk and was trying to console Kara. And if he would have known how to use the keyboard, he would have definitely made you co-host.
He would have helped.
I think Meow was trying to let me in.
Meowth.
Meowth. It's a Pokemon.
Oh, Meowth. I thought it was Meow.
That's okay. I didn't. We don't expect you to know what a Pokemon is.
I would. Sorry. Not in my wheelhouse.
You obviously don't have young boys around you.
Talking about being out of my comfort zone, that would be out of my comfort zone.
We have lots of Pokemon creatures on the farm. We had Arcanine, which is a Pokemon. We have Ponyta. And then there's a chicken every year that gets monikered with the chicken Pokemon name, but I can't remember what it is. So
it's like my mom, she used to name all of her animals after the Beatles. So we had Yoko Oinko.
Oh, God.
And we...
That's cute.
She wasn't a big fan of Yoko Ono. So she named our pot-bellied pig Yoko Oinko.
I think it's cute.
Oh, gosh. That is adorable, though.
Yeah.
We're Harry Potter and Pokemon around here. There's lots of Harry Potter, Pokemon, and I have a Lord of the Rings fetish. So there are some of those as well. Anyway, what all have you been up to?
Well, I've been shooting foals, but I also have been shooting for some articles that are coming soon, Western Horseman and Horse Illustrated. So I've been photographing for those projects. One of them I'm really excited, well, both of them excited about, but one of them I'm really excited about because it's for a local organization that I've been shooting for years called Horseplay Therapy and Rise Up for Vets. And they do therapy with horses, so hippotherapy with children with physical disabilities, speech development issues, cognitive issues. They do a lot of therapy with horses around that. And it's so impressive. And I've learned a little bit about it over the years, photographing just for their annual projects and their grant applications. But this year, I felt like I got to learn so much more, and it just was even more impressive to me. And then I also got to shoot for their Rise Up for Vets program, which is a newer program, but it was really neat to get to visit with some of the veterans in the program and hear how, even if they've never been really horse people, but how horses have like really helped them through, you know, just coming back and trying to like integrate back into society in a healthy way. And it was just a really cool, it's been really cool, really cool project. So look for that coming out in Western Horseman because it's going to be cool.
That's very neat.
That's awesome. I don't specialize in working with veterans with the equine gestalt. However, yeah, veterans are among us no matter what business that you're in. And thank you for your service to all of them. But I do see people come here. And so I took a big, long training on how to work with veterans and their Horses for Heroes Warrior Way in New Mexico. But they are now have a nonprofit that supports people like me so that I can provide free sessions to veterans. So
that's amazing.
If you're in the Kansas City, Missouri area and know a veteran and think that hippotherapy or equine gestalt could help, please send them my way. I can see them for no cost to them and I still get paid. So it's a win-win-win situation. But yeah,
that's cool.
That's awesome, Kara. That's awesome. I can't wait to see those articles.
It's just projects that are close to my heart. You know, like we've talked about how we work for free sometimes. And this is one of the instances where I work for free in order to support, give back to the community. And I've done it for several years, and it makes me feel really, selfishly, it makes me feel really good. But also it's a way that I can put what I love into action and, you know, in a cool way. So I'm excited to get to see it take kind of this new next step and actually get some national recognition.
That's awesome. 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 What about you, Phyllis?
It's funny. I don't think about telling y'all some of the stuff I'm up to, but I have started a partnership with Ag Women Connect.
Woohoo! Oh, nice.
And I'll be doing some work for them. I talked to one of the gals last week, the Vanessa Wood, that's with Ag Women Connect. And we're going to get together and do some stuff hopefully this year. They've invited me to some stuff that I can't come to because I'm already booked other places. But anyway, I think it's a cool partnership. I'll be excited to find out what I can do more with. I also, of course, we had the big fires out west in Nebraska and everything. That was a big story when I was talking to her. So Nebraska is still dealing with pop-up fires. They're having a lot of trouble with that. They think they're out, and then they'll look out and there'll be a fire started back up. So
scary.
Keep those people in your prayers. And if you can donate to any of the organizations that are helping them, the Nebraska cattlemen or whatever. But also, I did an interview with AQHA about my cover image for March and April.
Right. You were nervous. I guess it went well.
It shows on the, Aww. It shows that I was nervous. But I mean, it was very nice. Bobby Lauren was super nice that interviewed me. You can't even see her. I'm the only one talking on the video, but
where can we watch it?
It's on my social. It's on my Facebook page and my business page and Instagram.
Oh, I haven't seen it at all.
And it's on AQHA. It's on their social too.
Oh, okay.
And then the only other thing I've been doing is trying to get taxes together. Taxes.
Yes.
It is tax season.
And once I get that out of the way, I'll be able to breathe a little bit better. So
that's awesome.
Everybody right now is doing that.
Well, I've been connecting with my farm. I may not be an Ag Women Connect, but I am an Ag Woman Connecting. We've been doing all kinds of work here on the farm. It has been a lot of fun. And I have a new farm dog that's getting broken in who he likes to play with the ponies' tails.
Aww,
he doesn't want to chase them. He is a baby.
He don't want to chew on them?
He doesn't really want to chew on them. He just wants to follow them around. He has made friends with every animal on this farm. Like, he absolutely adores every animal. And every animal adores him, which is pretty awesome. They all are like, oh, you're really cute. Now, some of the horses get a little upset with him when he's like trying to paw at their faces, but we're watching closely to maintain his safety, just so people know.
Has your guardian dog seen him? Have they connected?
They have connected, but she is still a little big for him. She weighs probably 160, 170 pounds, and he weighs 16 at his last weight. Mm-hmm. And so he did get to play with her a little last night, and she got a little overzealous, and there was a cry, and then the rest of the evening he was between my feet. So it was a little
too rough.
Well, and then she doesn't know how big she is.
Yeah, she didn't mean to. Yeah,
she was not at all being mean. She just doesn't understand that she weighs so much. She's just a big, big girl, and she's very excited that she has a doggy friend that she could play with, but he's just not quite to the size. He will get big enough that he can play with her, though. So it's just a matter of time. All right, so let's dive into our topic for this week, which is simple photo assignments that get you out of your comfort zone. And so today we're taking a little bit of approach that's different. We are not going to be teaching. We are going to be teaching by example. So we're each going to share some stories about photo assignments that got us out of our comfort zone and the new skills that we learned in the process. So Kara is going to kick us off, and then I'll go, and then Phyllis will bring up the rear with a lot of fun stories. I'm sitting here looking at them. So yay.
Well, I will say that for me, photo assignments that I have done that have taught me what I don't want to photograph have been very significant for me. So I'm going to take it from that perspective. One of those was I wanted to see, like when I first started, like a lot of photographers, I'm like, I have to shoot everything. I want to shoot everything. I've got to get hired. I've got to make some money. Well, I decided I would test out a couple things to see like if it's something I could potentially add to my offerings to my community. And one of those things was I had been getting a lot of requests for family reunions. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to go photograph a family reunion. Well, why not? It wasn't my own family reunion. But I remember, like to this day, I can remember the couple's face when I was walking around the room and they wanted like a shot of everybody at all the tables. And I was taking pictures of these people and I stopped in front of this couple and I'm taking their picture. And I said to myself in my head, this is horrible. This is like so boring. I'm having to like just really talk to all these strangers, which I don't enjoy. And like Uncle Bob has to tell me about his camera. Every time I turn around, there's an Uncle Bob standing there. And I just was like, this is miserable. Like, this is so miserable. So I learned from that experience that I really don't enjoy those type of settings, like event type things where I have to just kind of be on and you're taking like kind of like the document what happened at the event type situations. Not happy. Shortly after that, I took on the idea of, well, maybe I could do a wedding, you know, like maybe a wedding.
That's an event, not steroids.
It's an event, but it's a more exciting and more meaningful for people. And it's going to be so cool. So I did photograph a wedding and I thought I was going to die the whole time. I was so miserable. It was like a whole day thing. I was basically like, you know, like the detail shots where you're like photographing the ring with like the shoes and the, I was like, this is not for me. This is like, absolutely none of this is fun to me. It is awful. And then I just kept thinking to myself, I've probably taken like 3,000 pictures so far, and I'm going to have to now go back to the office and look at all of these pictures and do something with them. And I was just like, oh, this is awful. So for me, going out on like an assignment that I've chosen because I want to see if this is something that I really want to do, it taught me really quickly what I don't want to do. And I learned really quickly that the only thing that gets me excited, honestly, is photographing horses, horse people, horse related stuff. So like commercial stuff around horses, like all of that I love and I'm invested in and I get excited about. And then from that, I have learned over time, just from going through those motions, I have learned that once I've connected with some of those families, I can then branch out a little bit and be like, you know what? You're a client that I enjoy working with. I'm happy to photograph your senior that isn't a horse senior, or I'm happy to photograph your family without horses during the holidays. You know, I can then be a little more generous and offer that. But I learned real quick, weddings are not for me. Family reunions are not for me. Birthday parties are not for me. Not happening. None of that.
Weddings are stressful, I do have to admit. And so what I've chosen for my stories, the things that have made me, I will tell you, they've made me a better photographer though. So I'm going to talk about what's made me a better horse photographer by talking about things that I really don't necessarily have a horse in them. Being a wedding photographer taught me a great deal about how to read a scene and tell a story.
I bet.
And I also learned a lot about the exposure triangle because I got the hardest weddings. So I consider these feathers in my cap. I photographed a wedding for a second time. I think actually it was probably her third time around bride. And it was in Colorado and it was in a chapel that had no electricity and it was at sunset by candlelight.
So fun.
And let me tell you, I learned how to push the limits of ISO. And I created a beautiful album for her. It was one of the best experiences for me to learn how to push the limits of my camera to get a good wedding photo. Another one was a bride who is related to, it's my son's cousin. That's a whole family story that we don't need to get into. But she got married in a vineyard at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a very sunny summer day in lots of white outdoors. And I learned how to shoot images in full light and make them look good. So that was one. Then I also did a January wedding in Wyoming in the snow. So that was another fun one that you talk about white on white. I take the weddings that no one else will take. I also did a wedding that taught me a lot about how to photograph within architecture. The wedding was at Oxford in England.
Oh, wow.
And I got to photograph the bride and groom against the Bridge of Sighs. And she had me there because she had horses in her wedding. That's why she hired me. But I got to ride through Oxford in the horse-drawn carriage with them so I could take pictures. It was
really
awesome.
I feel
really
like you're just bragging now about like how awesome your life is compared to the rest of us.
The weddings have been fun, but every single one of those weddings gave me a skill that I've used outside of weddings for equine photography, for what I teach. And I've loved all of them. Do I want to do it as a full-time job? I did for a while. I don't want to do it as a full-time job. I will take on a wedding on occasion, but it is not something that I continually want to do. But it has to be something that pushes me out of my comfort zone. And all of those did. So I was happy with the results from that. The other thing that taught me a lot about lighting and how to really light something well is doing commercial product photography. So for many years, I photographed Bob's Custom Saddles, and I would photograph literally hundreds of saddles every year. Every single model had to be photographed. Then this was back in the day before AI, and so I had to cut all of those out by hand. And I'm going to tell you, it made me a really good Photoshop user. Like, I had to go through and I learned how to use Bezier curves to be able to create really nice isolations of all of those images. And I also learned how to use off-camera lighting really, really well with that. And then at another level, I got a job photographing jewelry for a pretty well-known jeweler in Kansas City. And I learned how to do macro photography from photographing jewelry, which is a whole nother can of worms that you can get into. And it was absolutely fun. And jewelry is a challenge. I thought the Bob's Custom Saddles with all their silver was a challenge. Nothing compared to jewelry. And that taught me a lot about how to understand reflections and how to understand how light interacts with reflections. And then the final piece of things I think that has taught me a lot as a photographer is consignment art that people have hired me to do, which is someone who will ask me to take a photo that is their vision. And talk about getting out of your comfort zone. Sometimes you're hired because people love your style and want to have what you represent in their home. There are times, however, that I have been hired to create images that somebody else sees. And that teaches you how to listen really well to your customers, so that you can understand what they really want. Being able to create consignment art is a whole nother level of expertise, especially when it comes with, in the case of photography. So those are my short little stories about my experience in making myself a better photographer by taking jobs kind of outside of my comfort zone.
I love that. I've done, it's funny because listen to y'all, you made me remember some of the things I have done. I've done several weddings. I wouldn't do like a reunion, but I would do the party after, you know, the reception, and you'd have to go around taking pictures of all the guests and everything. So that was similar. And I've done not consignment art, but I've done art like people's paintings that they want photographed so they can make prints out of it, or, you know, or put it on their website or whatever. And I even did classes in that. I would teach other painters how to take their own pictures. So, but you're right. Everything that we've done has made us a better photographer in some way. Because, I mean, there's pieces and parts of that that we carry into to our future work. So.
Absolutely.
And like Kara said, and it also tells us what we don't want to do.
And the event photography, so Phyllis, you just let me in on a little secret. You're always sending me if we have an event to do. I'm the person who always does all the people pictures because you're like, oh, I don't know how to do that. You just let a cat out of the bag in telling me you know how to do that.
That was in another life that I don't even remember.
That you don't acknowledge now, huh? You've lost that skill set.
I just want to be clear. I did not say anything about that. So
you kind of did.
You kind of did too. Yeah, you kind of did. Reunions. So yeah. both of you have taken advantage of
no.
me. Oh, Kim,
no.
You do a lot of event photography. You go do it.
Don't say anything. I took all the pictures at Dryhead last year for the family. So don't
that
say
is
anything.
True. But I had just had a hysterectomy.
Oh, so yeah, that too.
I was off of that because I was like physically unable to keep up with that workload.
Well, Phyllis, we know whose turn it is this year.
Yours.
Hey, I've done it a lot of years.
Kim's.
I have done it a lot of years. So, anywho.
It'll be a joint effort, I guess.
It will be a joint effort. And it's fun because they're fun.
I'm a really good ear getter.
Yeah. Yeah, the family doesn't really need that, Kara.
Damn it.
Well, they sometimes have horses with them. I personally like being the broom handler. I like headsetting. I think headsetting is fun.
I like to have you, if we're doing sail photos, I like to have you on that end doing that because you know what you're doing.
I love the broom. The broom is a fun job. There you go. I want to become a professional broom headsetter for Phyllis. I'm just going to travel around and set all of Phyllis's horses' heads.
I don't know. Kara did a great job on her sail photos. So we may replace me with her.
So maybe I'll be Kara's headsetter.
There you go.
Anyway. Awesome. All right. Well, Phyllis, what stories do you have?
Oh, well, I mean, I have lots of stories, but I'm going to stick to the one story about how stepping out of my comfort zone or your comfort zone can look big and bold. And I guess for me, it kind of was. Well, I don't know if I really had a comfort zone back then when I did this, though, because I wasn't really new to photography, but I guess I've been doing it about 5 or 6 years.
Nothing was comfortable.
But yeah, seriously, obviously, this was a self-assignment. It was something that I wanted to do because I had read this article about how the polar bears are going to be extinct within so many years. And so I told my sister, I said, we've got to go see polar bears. I've got to go photograph polar bears. So yeah, that was my stepping out of my comfort zone, photographing polar bears, which led to coastal brown bears. And it definitely pushed me into a space where I was not in control anymore.
And no. You could die.
The bears could eat you.
It wasn't just a new subject. It was everything involved. It was the environment, the unpredictability, even the way I had to think while shooting, all forced me into completely unfamiliar territory. When you think about stepping into the territory of a 1,000-pound apex predator, comfort is the absolute last thing on your mind. Well, I mean, yes, maybe it's the first thing, but that kind of comfort. Yeah.
She's got jokes today. She's got jokes, Kim.
Well, I'm just sitting here thinking this is why we put her on the end when we do horses doing run-bys. We put Phyllis in the most dangerous position.
Yeah, I'm always on the end.
She's faced a polar bear eye to eye. You know, 1,200-pound horse and a cowboy charging at her ain't nothing.
You don't face polar bears like you do coastal brown bears. It's a little different. But anyway, you are completely surrendering control when you do this because it's a huge... What I loved about it, honestly, is a huge adrenaline rush.
I'll bet.
You have this massive bear locking eyes with you, and he's walking right past you. Like, literally, that's funny, but you know what? Now that I think about it, when we did the coastal brown bears, I was always on the end then, too.
You're the sacrificial
yes,
lamb.
Yes, I must have been.
Either that or you're an end hog.
I think that's more what the actual answer is, Kara. But your body is kind of screaming fight or flight. But as a photographer, you have to really fight that if you want to get the image. So for polar bears, you spend hours in the freezing rain and in freezing conditions waiting for something to happen. And then suddenly everything does happen like within 5 seconds. So you have to pivot from total boredom to hyper-focus instantly. And with the coastal brown bears, it was the terrain. You're hiking through tidal flats, sinking in deep mud. There was one gal that on the one trip I went on, she got her foot stuck in the mud. And here we're photographing a coastal brown bear in one direction. And she's walking
bait.
Up. She was bait, yes. And I'm like, oh my gosh, please do not let that happen to me.
That was your action. Ooh, don't let that happen to me. I don't want to be bait like that poor lady.
And of course, you're in the rain sometimes. And it's hard to talk about this with you two. It wasn't funny when it was happening.
No, I'm sure it was not. But I'm just imagining Phyllis going, okay, I'm going to be really careful about where I'm stepping because I don't want to get stuck.
Well, and that's hard to do because have you ever walked through tidal flats?
No.
Oh, my gosh. It's like, seriously, Kara, you've probably done a little bit of it in Florida, but maybe
I wouldn't.
Not.
I have no idea. Yeah.
Well, it's basically sinking in the mud. So, and yeah, then of course you're in the rain a lot of the times and you're away from your vehicle or the not a vehicle. We don't have vehicles. We have like 4x4s or, you know, Rangers or something like that we're riding in. But you're also carrying your gear with a tripod and everything. And I'm talking about a 600 millimeter lens, which in the old days, that was a monster.
Yeah.
And there's no one more time here like we do at our horse photography events. There's no one more time. You can't ask a bear to step back into the light or do that salmon catch one more time. You get one chance. You have to be super aware of the changing light, keep your eye on the prize, and know that if you mess up, there's no do-overs. What I really learned from this was to be very present. It made me slow down and approach the subject differently. When you're photographing animals like that, you're totally in their world. It's not about you. But that experience changed how I shoot. I think it made me more patient and I trust my instincts more. And I'm way less afraid to try something different that might not work. Getting out of your comfort zone isn't necessarily about chasing something extreme in this like I did. It can be simply about putting yourself in situations that make you pay attention, adapt, and grow something that you've never done before. And I think growth for me, and I think for you guys too, really happens when we're uncomfortable. I think that that's how we learn. And in this case, pushing through that discomfort gave me a profound respect for the animals and how they survive. I'm excited because I'm going to get to do something similar this fall in the Tetons in Yellowstone, where it's going to be all about wildlife, moose, and great gray owls. So yeah, I'm going to do it again.
That sounds like fun.
That's awesome.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah. And now I know why we put you on the end. So yeah, we're just going to keep you out there as a sacrificial lamb.
That's funny because it really just dawned on me that I know when we were the one trip, the first time I went to do the coastal brown bears, because he told us to be in a group lined up, you know, because a bigger group, you know, they're not going to attack. And of course, the bears up there, they don't know humans as a food source. So, but still, you want to form a big group. So it looks like you're one large entity. But I was always on the end.
Same
now that
horses,
I think about it.
Right?
Yeah. Very similar. Yeah.
Hold the line. Do not move. When somebody ducks out, they open a hole.
Well, at least when a horse runs over me, I don't worry about getting eaten by it, though.
True. Well, bears do recycle better than horses.
Yeah, so, that's true.
Anyway. Yeah, I do think you're right. I think the point of this episode is that there's lessons to be learned every time you pull your camera out of the bag, whether it's something
definitely
that you've decided to do as a self-assignment for yourself, or if it's something that you get invited to do where you think, well, that sounds interesting. I might give that a try. Regardless, because the camera is out of the bag, you are going to gain something out of it. And you know, I've been doing this 30 years now. I keep saying that. I think it's now like 32 or 33, but we're stick with the 30. And it's funny because you would think in 30 years, either I would have learned everything there is or I'm slow. And I don't consider myself slow, yet I still learn and gain skills all of the time from the different things that I do as a photographer. So I think it's well worth the shot if you to push yourself out of that comfort zone, whether it's going face to face with the polar bear or whether it is taking the challenging wedding or whether it's shooting the reunion for the family and knowing that that's not something you ever want to do again or baby.
Well, that's the cool thing about being in this line of work is that you never reach a position of like you're done, perfection.
Yeah.
You've learned it all. Like we're always learning.
There's boredom here.
No, I mean,
no boredom whatsoever.
It could be something really small or something really big, but you're still going to keep learning. So anyway, well, we hope that you guys get out of your comfort zone, get out there, do some self-assignments, get out of your comfort zone. If you want to get out of your comfort zone and join us somewhere in the field this next year, we've got, maybe at the time this episode comes out, we'll still have a couple spaces left. Head over to our website at cowgirlswithcameras.com, navigate to our events page, see what is out there, what's available, what's left. I know we've got a couple spots left at our Trapper's Lake adventure.
That's an adventure too. That'll get you out of your comfort zone.
Yes. And you'll have fun doing it. It's just,
and you will have a blast.
Yeah, I think that's at this point probably about what we have left. But you never know if there's wait lists available, too. So just go check it out.
And we'll have 2027 coming up soon.
That's right. We're on social as well, so you can find us at all of the places, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook for starters, at Cowgirls with Cameras. Oh, our online community. So go head over to our online community, cowgirlswithcameras.community. There is so much over there all the time, from editing challenges to just live events. We've had some really great live events lately. You'll find something that will feel like home for you. So just head over there and join us. So hope you guys have enjoyed this episode.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Cowgirls with Cameras. Don't let the laughter and learning stop here. Join our community on social media and be sure to visit our website for more opportunities to fulfill your photography goals. Head to cowgirlswithcameras.com. That's cowgirlswithcameras.com. See you next time.